watch a sitcom on TV, and if that sitcom needs a laugh track to make you think it's funny at home, you've lost something. And same way to me, if you had an NFL game you're watching on TV and you need bells and whistles from the screen rather than the emotion from the stadium coming there,
exactly,
you would lose a lot that
yeah.
way.
No, I think you know, the best games on television, the TV producers, the networks are able to capture that emotion and that passion that is in the stadiums. And, you know, that's true for the NFL. It's true for college football. It's why those sports, I think it's a lot of reason, one of the big reasons why our sports are so popular.
The opener generally has had, like, big-time bands somewhere around the stadium, or is that going to happen for the Baltimore here, or do you know?
I do. I actually just spoke with the league a little bit about it, and we got wind of the fact that this game might be played here, and so we inquired as to how that was going to go. Specifically on Thursday, Wednesday and Thursday leading up to the game. I think the Monday is Labor Day, so there's sort of a yeah. two-day window where I think the league does some celebrating. And they're going to rightfully do that celebrating in Baltimore. The Ravens won the Super Bowl, and they're going to be celebrating with the Ravens, with the city of Baltimore and the Ravens fans, and you'll see some of that on NBC, I think, pregame. I think a lot of the pregame is going to be done nationally. In Baltimore. That said, you know, we've had some meetings internally with some of our business folks, our marketing folks, and also with Richard Scharf down at Visit Denver to try and come up with some plans to celebrate the start of the season, given that it's starting here in Denver. And that won't be televised nationally, although there's possibilities if we get some help from NBC, some of it could be shown in and out of bumpers of the TV timeouts and whatnot. But we're going to do our own things here to celebrate the start, as we should, and reward our fans with the opportunity to get excited about the start of the year. But it will not be the focal point of the league celebration of the start of the season. Leading up to the game will be in Baltimore. And as I said, that's right and just, given their Super Bowl championship. But, you know, when we switch to about a half an hour before kickoff, the focus will be on Denver, Colorado, and the game. Between the Broncos and the Ravens.
While the Orioles are playing the White Sox down the street, there'll be this big concert for the Ravens?
Well, that's a question for the Ravens and the Orioles, not for the Broncos.
That's a slam.
Yeah.
Joe,
yeah, you can re-ask that question just to somebody else.
You said you guys had a heads up about that Ravens game. Were you surprised at all the way some of the games shook out, that maybe the Giants game wasn't going to be a Sunday or Monday night game, or that you weren't going to be playing the Thanksgiving game in Dallas based on maybe what you'd heard?
I thought that when I first saw it, I thought the reason we weren't going to play the Dallas game was because it would have given us two 10-day windows between Thursday night games, but we got that anyway, so that theory went out the window because we got the San Diego game a couple weeks later. No, not really. There's some good as Patrick informed me, and we went through the schedule. You know, you got five playoff teams and some good, interesting matchups. And you could have swapped out. I mean, I think our game against Washington will be very, very compelling because the Redskins are going to have a good team, and Mike Shanahan's coming back here, and that'll be fun for everybody. So, you could have mixed and matched several of those games, but there really isn't anything there to worry about. The holiday seasons, the Thanksgiving, we're on the road, I think, consecutive weeks. And then at the end, around Christmas and New Year's, we're on the road, too. And that some fans like that because they can stay at home and celebrate holidays with their families at home. And other fans, they get their families home and they want to come to the game. So it's kind of a mix, you know. And I think we've been at home for a lot of the holiday games in the past, but this year we'll be on the road. But in terms of how it plays out from a football standpoint, I know John Elway and John Fox will give you more insight on that.
Along those lines, how much input and communication with the league are the teams able to have before the schedule?
Well, you put together a wish list, and then you never know whether they're going to honor any of it at all or not. And you can beg, which we often do, and try and peddle influence, but listen, they're going to put out the fairest and the best schedule that they can, and it's a really difficult process for them. And when once they hand it out, there's no going back, you know. So all you do is tell them you get a chance each year to submit what your wish list is, and you know, sometimes you get some of it, and sometimes you get none of it, and that's the way it works.
Hey Joe, with all the improvements to the stadium, how's it compared to all the other stadiums in the NFL?
Well, we're catching up on the video boards for certain, you know, and I think we have a great building. The sight lines are great, and you know, it's a lot of people. It's 77,000 seats actually, if you add them all up. And so, you know, to be able to provide every one of those people with a great experience is a tall order each and every week. But our building is very serviceable and very manageable to get around for people. I think we're very, very lucky to have it and to be able to play in it. And I do think some of these components that we're installing are we're catching up a little bit, and hopefully it'll make the experience a lot better.
How much of some of these stadium improvements have to do with the bid, the plans to ask to host a Super Bowl?
It wasn't really done part and parcel, to be fair, to be honest. But you know, you'd have to have something like that if you wanted to make a bid. I think I've said this before to some of you. You know, we're going to see how, in speaking with Richard Scharf down at Visit Denver, we're going to see how things go in New York. And I think it's only fair and right that the ownership's going to do the same thing before they award another outdoor Super Bowl in a cold weather, supposed cold weather climate. Seems to be colder in April than it is in February around here. But, you know, if that goes well, and even if there's a hint of inclement weather, but the Super Bowl gets pulled off and there's a feeling among ownership and among league officials that they might be willing to try it again, then, you know, Mr. Bolin is hopeful, and we're hopeful that maybe we could get it together and submit a bid. But, you know, the question is probably needs to be asked again second week of February after we see what happens in New York.
The NFL has done so many things that I'm sure other sports leagues go, man, I wish we'd thought of that first. But one thing baseball has got knocked is, and they're selling sunshine and warmth, is preseason. They're selling spring training, and they've built bigger stadiums for spring training. That's a revenue source. You had such great response by your fans with training camp here a year ago. Are you maxed out with the fan experience, or have you even thought down the road if you can do anything more?
I don't think we're maxed out. I just can't tell you what the next level of fan enhancement or enhancements for the fans is, because that changes all the time. I mean, I mentioned a couple of things. You know, the people today are using their mobile devices for everything. And if the rest of the world gets ahead of us on that, people will get frustrated and they'll drop out. I'm talking about fans coming to games. So we do have to keep up in that area. And when I say, you know, Patrick gave me the number earlier, right now we're at, you know, a little bit north of 20, 25,000 fans that we can service on wireless. We got to get to everybody someday, soon, because that's what you're all used to. That's, you know, I mean, I'm not too savvy on this thing, but most people are. And they use it for everything, and they get their information fast, and they get their orders fast. And, you know, we've got to have an application on these mobile units that gives you instant scores, replays, updates, fantasy information, the ability to buy concessions, the ability to buy toys and trinkets, as we call them, and figure out everything on that. And so, you know, that's just one area, Mark, where I think improvements need to be. Other things are going to come along. You know, how can we do some things in the stadium to make fans, to allow fans to have more fun pregame? We instituted this place called the Mountain Village. I don't know if anybody saw it last year in the North End. You know, it was very, very well received, but we've got to expand upon that and do some more things like that for people. So it's ongoing, and the information is evolving daily, really.
Contracts is maybe one area where you and John Elway's department work together. Your thoughts on Ryan Clady and what's going on with his contract situation?
Well, I think John Elway would speak to that and would tell you that he's hopeful that he can get Ryan signed to a long-term deal. You know, he's obviously right now he's franchised. I don't really meddle in that at all, Mike, in terms of I'm eager to know what's going on, but I don't they're doing their job shaping the roster. I will say this, you know, John's really done a great job in his role here and understands the vision of what we need to do this year to win and hold the roster together 3 years and for 5 years so that we can have sustained success. And I know Mr. Boland has a lot of faith and a lot of confidence and a lot of trust in him that he'll stay the course and do that. So, you know, I think Ryan Clady, he'll speak for himself. I hope he wants to be here, and we can work something out with him.
Looking back over the last 2 years, has John Elway grown in the job as you expected, better than expected?
As I expected. And I guess, you know, somebody asked me, are you surprised at how well he's doing? And my answer to that would be, I'm surprised that people are surprised that he's doing that well, because he brings a lot to the table. He brings leadership, competitive fire. He's one of the most competitive guys you'll know, wants to win in the worst way. A lot of intelligence, knowledge, and he brings an outside business perspective to it, which is very, very rare. You know, he's fully vested in the organization and the community. He understands all about the fans and how much this team means to them. He's disciplined. It's very, very noticeable in dealing with him and talking with him. He sticks to his plan. He stays disciplined. Teams get in trouble in this league when they sway from their plan and sway from what is their discipline. I know Pat feels very, very confident that John will not do that. So we're lucky to have him here.
Do you think John is as driven as an executive by the playoff loss as he was as a player to Jacksonville when he came back and won the two Super Bowls?
Well, first he should speak for himself on that, but my answer would be yes.
In terms of John, the question I get from fans a lot is, will he in this for the long haul? Is that your impression?
Yeah.
Is he in this?
I mean, he's dug in. I went up and visited the draft meetings and just to see the interaction and see how they were working in the room. And, they're in there early in the morning till, you know, early evening with a lot of conversation. John's listening, hearing everybody out. There's good dialogue between he and Coach Fox back and forth, some of the assistant coaches, some of the personnel people. I run out of gas after about an hour and a half. My attention span isn't quite as good as theirs when it comes to analyzing players over and over. But they're doing, they're doing a lot of hard work. I don't see him wavering with that at all. I think he's very good about delegating and listening, but also strong enough and confident enough in his knowledge and his opinions to have the courage of his convictions and make good decisions on behalf of the organization. As I said, short-term and long-term. I believe he's going to be here for a while.
From the front office perspective, what does it mean to see Peyton Manning kind of get very active in the community as of late? Is that something you didn't see him doing? Just a little bit more in the background.
Yeah, he did plenty last year, and he's very private. But, you know, he obviously is a terrific player and a terrific person. We're lucky to have him. Everything that he does on the field speaks for itself, and everything that he does off the field, he does in such a classy manner, you know. So we're very, very fortunate to have that kind of player play for the Broncos. And he's, as John Elway says, he's lifted all boats. He's really elevated our team and our franchise. And he's done a lot for our organization on the business side as well. And so the only unfortunate thing is he's 37. But maybe he can play for a long, long time. We'll see.
You talked about the improvements to the field, and we see that cement building going up right there. Is there plans for an indoor facility on the premises here in the near future?
There are plans. We're just trying to figure out the timing of it as we work through some of the improvements down at the stadium. First and foremost, we always got to put a competitive team on the field. That's the most important thing to Mr. Bolin. He feels he's defined by how many Super Bowls he wins, and he hasn't won one in a long time in his mind. So that's really his first goal. But, you know, we need one. If you look around the country at 50, 60 Division I college programs, they've got state-of-the-art field houses or bubbles, and, you know, we're jumping on a bus going up to South Suburban. I've said this, and we've got 128 million dollars in salary cap, 125, whatever the number is in salary cap, plus some benefits we pay out to players. It's a big number, and we ought to be affording them a good indoor practice when we need it. And if we had one, we'd use it a lot more than people realize. You know, we have lightning strikes during training camp. We have situations where maybe it's better to practice indoors if it's even though you could practice outdoors. So that's something we are working on. We're looking at it. We've had some initial plans, and I hope someday that comes to fruition, because we do need that.